Welcome to Ruin Ministries Podcast, where you get the latest music, teaching, prophecies, and information on what God is doing in the kingdom with his people and through Ruin Ministries.
We receive everything that you have for us tonight, Lord. Father, I thank you for your presence. I thank you for the angelic presence that's also here. I thank you, Lord, that you are our covering tonight. Sarah, I have a word for you. The Lord highlighted you when we were worshiping. And it's just a very short word. And he said, I want her to know that I am going to be her God. I'm not her mommy's God, and I'm not her daddy's God. I am her God. And you're going to come into a time of great intimacy with the Lord. And he's going to accelerate you. He's going to accelerate your understanding of who he is in his kingdom. And he's going to accelerate your position in life. I see you working. I see the Lord has shown me that I see you actually going out and doing things like spiritual warfare. But I also sense that the Lord's going to bring to you a lot of hurting people. And these people, some of them have been in war zones and traumatized. And he's going to give you an anointing to deal with those kind of people. That you have his heart that you can unlock and release to those people. And so he wants you to understand today, okay, he is your God, and he's going to reveal more of himself to you in ways you can't even imagine. And he's very jealous for you, very, very jealous for you. And he's got an awesome calling for you. And his word to you is go forward, and do not be afraid, go forward. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. God is good. Amen. Well, my name is Mignon. For those of you who are new, we welcome you tonight to Kingdom Nights. Tonight, I'm going to speak on a topic the Lord has brought up to me called Becoming a Kingdom Agent. I'm going to attempt to adjust some of our mindsets and help us have a new perspective about how we see ourselves in the kingdom and who we are. It is my hope that when I'm done tonight, you'll be more excited about being a Christian. You'll have more of a focus and an understanding on what your purpose is here in the kingdom. Now, I have felt really led to speak on the kingdom, and the Lord even gave me a vision where he gave me a key, and he said, Mignon, I want you to unlock the kingdom for the church. I'm going to give you that understanding. So tonight, we're going to begin to go into that understanding and see what God has for us. Many Christians that I meet don't really know who they are. They don't really know what their position is in the kingdom, nor their power, nor their rights that they have, nor their inheritance. And because of this, many of us are walking around in the church not knowing who we are, and the enemy is having a field day in our lives. He is wreaking havoc because we have not really been taught in the church how to stand in the authority that we have. So he takes advantage of this lack of understanding, and that needs to stop. Right now, there is no worse nightmare for the enemy than a Christian discovering who they are. Okay? When that happens, the jig is up, as they say, and the battle is on. All right? So tonight, I'm going to try to use an analogy that I hope will be helpful to help us better understand who we are. A few months ago, I was very blessed to make some new friends in the kingdom. Now, these new friends are ultra serious about their Christian faith and about living a supernatural life with the Lord Jesus. After hanging out with them for a while, I discovered that they commonly referred to each other with a specific phrase, and this phrase delineated how they saw themselves in the kingdom and their Christian faith, and they called themselves the kingdom agents. Now, when I first heard them use that term, I laughed. I laugh, because like most Americans, if you hear the word agent, what do you think of? James Bond, right? Right? Ba-da-bum, ba-da-bum, you know? James Bond. So every time they would say kingdom agents, you know, I would hear James Bond, I'd be laughing hysterically. I'm like, oh, you guys have got to lighten up, you know? But then one day the Lord got my attention and he said, Mignon, they are right as far as heaven is concerned. You need to pay attention. Did you know that when you signed up to become a Christian, you signed up to be in a battle between two kingdoms? one of the darkness and one kingdom of light. And I know that kind of sounds very Star Trek, and I'm not trying to make it sound that way. But the truth is, this is what the Bible says. There's two kingdoms in a battle. Paul says in Acts, he was sent to the Gentiles by Jesus to open their eyes that they may turn from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Colossians 1:13 says, the Father has delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control and the dominion, which is kingdom, the dominion of darkness, and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. So Scripture says, okay, there are two kingdoms, and a battle exists upon the earth between those two kingdoms. It's a battle for dominion, not just for the earth. It is a battle for dominion also of the hearts, the minds, and the souls of mankind. And it's a battle we are all involved in, whether we want to acknowledge it or not. Now, did you know when you became a Christian, you automatically became a citizen of another place called the Kingdom of Heaven? Once you became a believer, you in effect gave up your earthly rights and citizenship, and you took on the rights as a citizen of the kingdom. See, now our allegiance and alliance is to Jesus Christ and his kingdom alone. Philippians 3:20 says, but we are citizens of the state, the homeland, commonwealth, which is in heaven. Ephesians 2:9 says, therefore you are no longer outsiders, exiles, migrants, or aliens, excluded from the rights of citizens, but now you share citizenship with the saints, God's own people, set apart for himself, and you belong to God's own household. So as Christians, we are now citizens of another kingdom who happen to live on this planet and in this current world system. Now, who is the prince of this world that we live in? Right, Scripture says Satan is the prince of this world, also called the prince of the air. John 12:31 says, this is Jesus speaking, now the judgment of this world is coming. Sentence is now being passed on the world. Now the ruler prince of this world shall be cast out. And Ephesians talks about this as well. It says, you were following the course and fashion of this world, following the prince of the power of the air. You were obedient to and under the control of the demon spirit that still constantly works in the sons of disobedience. Okay, so we see here that Scripture says Satan is the ruler of this present world. So let's review. Satan rules the planet. There's a battle going on the planet between the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light for territory and for the minds of men, mankind. We are caught in the midst of this battle. Scripture tells us that we are now a part of another kingdom and that we have to act differently than the rest of the world around us. And not only that, we have to go out and make disciples of Christ and bring others into this kingdom that we're suddenly in. But we still live on this planet, and Satan rules the planet. So what does that make us to Satan? Enemies. Enemies. Understand, enemies. Not irritations, okay? Not minor irritations, enemies. Now, we are enemies of this current world system that we live in, but we have yet been given an assignment from Jesus Christ on behalf of his kingdom to go and make disciples of all nations and bring them into this kingdom. So, now that we understand all that, with this new understanding, I have a question for you. What does that make you? What kind of people live secretly among a foreign nation or a group and work secretly to overthrow that nation? Spies. Secret agents. It makes us kingdom agents. Do you understand? We live here on the earth, but we are actually, hang with me, agents from another kingdom, and we each have an assignment from the king that we have to carry out while we exist in hostile territory. I want you to try to see yourself in this light while I finish talking. Once you start here with this thought that you are a kingdom agent, you belong to a different kingdom, and you have a specific assignment, it changes the way you view your walk, and it changes the way you operate as a Christian. Now, for some of this may be difficult because we really haven't been taught to think like this. Some people are saying, it sounds so Hollywood. Well, that's fine. If it works, it works. Amen. The Prophet's Dictionary defines an agent as a representative, a delegated official, or authorized functionary of a country, an organization, a business, or a kingdom. Agents conduct negotiations, they handle transactions, and administrate diplomatic affairs on behalf of their sending principal. So, we can see ourselves as the fact that we can be kingdom agents. But the question is, not just can we be kingdom agents, but how do we become active kingdom agents? It's one thing to have a title, it's another thing to know how to do your job, right? Okay. I believe this is actually a two-part process. So for the sake of staying on the agent theme tonight, I want to talk about the kingdom agent training process. Okay, first, we need to understand that the kingdom has to be established within a person before it can be established around them. This is the thing that Jesus was talking about in Luke 17, verse 20, and it says, asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he replied to them by saying, the kingdom of God does not come with signs to be observed or with visible display, nor will people say, look, here it is, or see, it is there. For behold, the kingdom of God is within you and among you. So what is Jesus talking about? The kingdom of God is within you. Think about it. He's talking about the new nature of Christ that the Holy Spirit brings when he lives inside of us. This is the kingdom within us. He's talking about the nature of God coming and existing within you. Okay, now, just to be sure you understand, I want to give you a definition of the word nature so we understand what we're talking about. Let's see. Webster says, nature is the inherent quality or basic constitution of a person or a thing, one's natural instincts or way of life. So when I say nature, we're talking about your inherent basic constitution, your way of life. So when I'm talking about Christ's new nature within us, I'm talking about the way that he exists within us, of changing us into his nature. You understand? Now, this change is not done by our willpower or by what we can and cannot do. This change is done by the Spirit. Before Christ came into our lives, we all lived and were born into a curse of the law. And we carried within us the old Adamic nature. This is the nature of Adam and Eve. The nature of Adam and Eve brought death into our mortal bodies. It brought sin. It brought and established an agreement with the enemy. It brought a specific kind of nature into the picture. So we were born with that nature, with the Adamic nature. Remember that before you were Christians, you belonged to the enemy. Some of us don't understand that. I think we just kind of float around and one day we meet Jesus and it's all good. You know, and some churches teach that. You know, there's, hey, come on in, the water's fine, and you get into the church, and things still aren't going your way, even though you've accepted Christ, and what's going on here? The truth is, there's a nature problem, okay? You were born with a specific nature, and you were belonging to the enemy, okay? Paul says this in Ephesians 2, and he said, you, he made alive when you were dead, slain by your trespasses and sin, in which at one time you walked habitually. You were following the course and fashion of this world, and you were under the sway and tendency of this present age, following the prince of the power of the air. You were obedient to and under the control of the demon spirit that still constantly works in the sons of disobedience. So when we accepted Christ, he came in, bringing into us with him a new nature and a new kingdom. He broke the curse of the law off of our life. He put a stop at that moment to the Adamic nature continuing within us, and he brought in his new nature. Galatians says this, Christ purchased our freedom, redeeming us from the curse of the law, by himself becoming a curse for us. Now, he came in, and the first thing that happens is, by the power of his spirit, he begins destroying that old Adamic nature that is in each one of us. He imparts his new nature and kingdom into us through the Holy Spirit. This is how we are changed from glory to glory. I always wonder what that phrase meant in the Bible. We go from glory to glory. And I'd be like, that's great. I'm not seeing it. Glory to glory. I guess the glory's going to come hit me upside the head and we're just going to fly off, right? Glory to glory. I mean, am I the only one who thought that? No, I understand. The Lord said, no, Mignon, understand. The Holy Spirit, by his power, is the one who moves us from glory to glory. He does it. Do you understand? The old nature is passing away, and the new supernatural kingdom of nature of Christ is growing within us. And that's how we move one level up. Paul says it's in Corinthians. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. All of us, as with unveiled faces, because we continue to behold in the Word of God as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured into his very own image in ever-increasing splendor from one degree of glory to another. Remember when you're young and you're a teenager? I don't know if we have teenagers. I guess we're all a little older. Okay, think back. When you were young and you were a teenager, you never thought that would end. Do you remember that? Unless it was a great time for you and you're probably the only person in the room by yourself and that thing, but you did, right? You grew up, right? We need to understand it's very similar, okay? What did you do to grow up? Not much. Prayed hard, right? It's the same thing. Eventually, you grew. The Holy Spirit, putting that nature within us, is moving us from glory to glory. We need to understand that process. We need to understand that's what's going on. It is Jesus using his Holy Spirit to transplant one kingdom in us for another. All right, remember, we're kingdom agents. The kingdom of light is transplanting from the kingdom of darkness. Now, Christ's nature is not like the Adamic nature. The Adamic nature we carry is based on fear, sin, and death. Christ's nature is a conquering nature, to quote a friend of mine, that brings all things into alignment with the Father and the kingdom. Okay, so you understand the difference. There's a huge difference. The Holy Spirit's job is not just to fill us with the gifts. It's not just to fill us. It's to change us into the very likeness of Christ. It's to change us into the very likeness of Christ. It's to fulfill in us a new nature and kingdom that Christ came to give each one of us. It's Christ's nature working in us that turns us into sons and into heirs. And into kingdom agents. So you say, Mignon, all right, Mignon, why is it important for me to know that? Why do I need to know to this extent who I am? And I'll tell you why. Because if you don't know who you are, you will not be able to walk in what he's called you to walk in. In other words, you won't be able to fulfill your kingdom assignment. Remember, the kingdom has to be established within a person before it can be established around them. A good special agent has been trained thoroughly in who he is so that he never forgets where his real loyalty lies, no matter how long he has been in a foreign country. We live in a foreign country on this planet. We are no longer to see ourselves from this perspective. We have to know who we are so that we never forget where our true alliance rests. No matter what happens to us here, no matter the attacks of the enemy, no matter what man-made structure of this earth or religion or denomination, we can never forget that our true alliance rests with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. And his kingdom. You know, we are a royal priesthood of heirs to the throne of God. We are not Christian ants toiling away trying to save ourselves and have our flesh worked off. Do you understand? If we see ourselves like that, the enemy agrees, and that's what our life becomes. Do you understand? This is a battle. You are an agent. You have to know who you are. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased special people, that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. This is who we really are. This is who we really are. This is how we are supposed to be seeing ourselves. And this is how we are supposed to be behaving. You are kings and queens, a royal priesthood, a lethal kingdom agent. So I want to shift your mindset. I want you to stay there. Don't leave, okay? So you understand, this is not a religious deal. It's not you working to become a better Christian. It is surrendering to the Spirit who is within you, and he builds the kingdom within you. He moves you from glory to glory. But you do have to surrender to him. It's not you toiling away trying to be better and keep the Ten Commandments. You need to understand. The Lord is trying to give the church greater understanding of who they are and how he actually operates versus what we have been taught religiously. Do you understand? Please understand, I'm not knocking the church. I love the church. I am part of the church. But we need to have greater understanding because it is a battle. And the enemy holds too many cards right now for most of us. Okay, what did I say? Nothing scares him more than a Christian who knows who they are. You know, healing and deliverance that we go through are just simply ways that get rid of the old kingdom and allow it to be replaced with the new kingdom of light. Do you understand? It's just simply getting rid of the old kingdom so the new kingdom can have more space and more room, all right? It's a process, but the one who determines the process and how quickly it goes is you. God will move as fast as you let him. Sometimes I don't think we understand that. Why, God? Why? Why is it not going so? God, as soon as you're ready to move on and quit complaining, we will. Do you know? I mean, honestly. So, two-part training process, okay? First part, having the kingdom within, the nature of Christ within. This is a process the Holy Spirit does with us over time. The second part, becoming active and activated in the kingdom of God. All right. Yes, this is the fun part. Okay, once the Holy Spirit starts growing the nature of Christ within us, he can then begin to teach us how to operate and live in the new kingdom reality. Our citizenship is in the kingdom, and our new nature gives us access to everything and every place in the kingdom. A good agent not only knows who they are and where their alliance is, they also have secret weapons and training that enable them to do their job. Right? As kingdom agents, we too have secret weapons and training available to us through the Spirit. And the training happens as we learn to operate in a new way through the law of the Spirit. Romans 7, 5-7 says, "But now we are discharged from the law and have terminated all intercourse with it." I did not make that word up. It is in the Bible. "Having died to what once restrained and held us captive. So now we serve not under obedience to the old code of written regulations, but under obedience to the promptings of the Spirit and the law of the Spirit." Now, the Spirit comes in and wants to begin your training. The first thing the Spirit does is he tries to train us to see everything from a kingdom perspective, not an earthly one. Now, this is the tricky part, okay, because some of us, in order for us, the Spirit, to activate us in this way, to turn us into full kingdom agents, we have to let go of some of the perceptions we have that have been ingrained in us through our religious upbringing. If we don't let go of them, we won't be compatible with the kingdom perspective, all right? So remember, the church is a part of the kingdom. It is not in itself the entirety of the kingdom. Jesus left the job of facilitating the kingdom upon the earth to the church. Understand? The Bible says that we are meant to be priests and kings and queens who serve the kingdom and reign on earth. This is in Revelations. 5:9. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain and with your blood purchased men from God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom, a royal race, and priests to serve our God, and they will reign as kings upon the earth. The church is meant and was created to have a kingdom perspective. We are the agents on the earth through which the kingdom of God manifests. In other words, we are supposed to be conduits through which the power and life of Christ flow and heaven and earth align to bring forth God's purposes. Do you understand? Good. Agent training is fun, isn't it? Yes. Now, we are beginning now to move deeper into the kingdom age. Okay, in the body of Christ. The church age is ending. You know, for a long time, the Christians have operated from a church perspective, where everything is about the church and building the church upon the earth. This is because we've been coming out of the church age. This is not a bad perspective. It's just not complete. We are beginning now to enter the kingdom age, and the Spirit is trying to train us on how to operate with the kingdom perspective now. And a kingdom perspective is operating with a vision from heaven to earth. It is seeing and hearing and being tuned in with what God is doing in heaven and then being a channel for that to be reproduced upon the earth. It is seeing and understanding the bigger picture that God has in mind for the whole world and for time, not just for the church. This is what Jesus was talking about in John 5:19. Listen, he says, "So Jesus answered them," he's talking to the Pharisees, "by saying, I assure you, most solemnly I tell you, the Son is able to do nothing of himself on his own accord, but he is able to do only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does is what the Son does in the same way." So the Spirit tries to train us to see with the kingdom perspective from heaven to earth. That's what Jesus meant. I only do what I see the Father doing, heaven to earth. Okay, so the Spirit starts to get us in kingdom perspective mode. We start to see things from a different perspective. Our perspective changes. We see people differently. We see the church differently. Okay, and then he hits us with a new thing. He starts to activate our gifts. Okay. Which are our own personal secret weapons. You see, spiritual gifts are actually given to facilitate the growth of the kingdom and for establishing God's kingdom in greater measure upon the earth. They're not just for us to have a good time and to be spiritual. They're actually given for us to facilitate and move the kingdom forward upon the earth. And the gifts actually act to support and confirm the message of the kingdom. That's what they're supposed to be doing. And we see this in Acts chapter 8. I'll give you an example. Acts chapter 8. Philip, the deacon, not the apostle, it says that in my Bible, went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Christ, the Messiah, to the people. And great crowds of people with one accord listened to and heeded what was said by Philip as they heard him and watched the miracles and the wonders which he kept performing. But when they believed the good news of the gospel about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, as Philip preached it, they were baptized, both men and women. So our gifts and our anointings are the secret weapons and tools given to us by the Holy Spirit that enable us to perform our kingdom mission upon the earth. That's why it's important for you to know what giftings you have. Every good agent knows what weapons and tools he has and how they work. You know, as believers, we actually have the ability to walk in all the gifts because Jesus walked in all the gifts. And he said we would do what he did. We have the same spirit Jesus had, and we carry his nature. Now, again, that's a process, like we talked about, and it takes some time to be made complete within us. So most of us end up only walking in a few of the gifts very well. But that's not the way it was meant to be. Now, I want to list real quickly here to jog your memory for yourself what the secret weapon gifts are. 1 Corinthians 12. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given to the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in all kinds of tongues. And to another still, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and same Spirit, and he gives them to each one as he determines. So the Spirit gives us these different gifts. Then he trains us in how to use them properly for the kingdom. The key word there is properly. Now, as a kingdom agent, there is something very important I want you to remember. And if you don't get anything else out of this talk, I want you to remember this. I want to hear days gone by. That's the one thing I remember that mignon girl saying. All right? God does not take away your gifts or your anointings. He just makes you accountable for everything you do with it. I want to say it again for those listening on the podcast. God does not take away your gifts or anointings. He just makes you accountable for everything you do with them. Now, how many of us have seen those movies where the spies are really bad at what they do? You know, where they go and they accidentally blow things up. They misuse the weapons, you know what I mean? And it's just a nightmare, okay? I don't know the names of those movies. I think, like, Get Smart or something like that, maybe. You know, they can't do anything right. Once we have been issued our spiritual equipment in the kingdom, we need to be very careful that we understand how to use it in a way that honors the Lord and his kingdom. The Holy Spirit spends a lot of time trying to teach us how to use the weapons and tools correctly. Remember, the gifts are for building the kingdom, extending the kingdom, taking back dominion from the enemy upon the earth. They are not to be used for personal gain or controlling others. That is witchcraft. That is a weapon of the enemy. So I want you to be warned. I want to be very serious that you understand that the giftings you get, you're responsible for. Use your gifts wisely, kingdom agents. Don't grieve the Spirit that he gave it to you in the first place. Now, recall, I said earlier that we have access to everything in the kingdom, right? And every place in the kingdom. Another aspect of kingdom training is accessing the different realms or places in the kingdom. And this goes back to what I said earlier about learning how to operate with a vision from heaven to earth. The kingdom encompasses all things that were created by God. This includes the heavens, the earth, the angels, the demonic, the church, the visible things, and the invisible things. Colossians 1:15 through 17 says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers, or rulers, or authorities. You need to understand he's talking about the angels and the demonic there. And all things were created by him and for him. There is more than just the physical realm that kingdom Christians have to deal with and kingdom agents have to deal with. Now, I'm not talking about New Age realities. I'm not talking about astral travel or any of that, you know, stuff, mumbo-jumbo New Age stuff. Remember, there's a literal kingdom of darkness that we are in a battle against every day of our lives. This kingdom is real, and that realm is real. As you grow in your training as kingdom agents, you will run up against this kingdom of darkness somewhere in your life. Now, the Holy Spirit trains us on how we are to battle against that kingdom, as well as reveals to us the different places in heaven we have access to, the different places in the kingdom. We talked about some of these places before, like the different rooms in heaven that the Holy Spirit can give you visions of, stuff like that. And if you missed that teaching, I want to encourage you on our website, on the podcast. I talk about this in a teaching called Receiving Revelation from Heaven. I want to encourage you to go back and get that. It's on the website. So he reveals these kingdoms. Now, as agents, once we have our weapons and have received some training with those weapons, we are then ready to be given assignments. The Holy Spirit is the one who teaches us how to handle our assignments. He teaches us how to work with the angels, how to take territory for the kingdom He teaches us how to go into the enemy camp and bring back prisoners, how to bring the triumph of the cross of Christ into every situation you face, into your family, into your workplace, into your church, everywhere you go. He teaches you how to be a conduit so that the kingdom flows out through you with power and changes the atmosphere of the world around you. The good news, too, is the assignments are always changing because you are growing more into the nature of Christ every moment, and your gifts are growing and your anointings are growing. So it is not a boring job. So you understand, okay, two-part process, all right? Do you understand how important it is, as silly as it sounds, to see yourself as a kingdom agent? Do you realize how absolutely true that is? Do you understand that when you see yourself from this perspective, you suddenly have a whole different understanding of your purpose? Okay, we've been talking about this training process, so now I want to give you a scenario that I hope is going to put things in perspective and make it easier for us to understand why it's really important for you to start seeing yourself this way as a Christian. This is something that the Holy Spirit gave me, and so I'm hoping it's going to help. I'm going to give you a sample scenario, and we're going to use, I'm going to give you a sample scenario and show you how an average Christian would respond or operate, and then show you the difference between that and a kingdom agent Christian would respond or operate. So you understand? All right? So here we go. I'm going to do a setup. We're going to choose the average American work office as a background for this scenario. So into the picture, we'll bring a coworker named Judy. So we're looking at the average American work office. Judy is not a Christian. She's an average American working female. Let's say she doesn't go to church. She was not raised in a Christian home. She likes TV, especially the reality shows. She likes to eat out and occasionally likes to have margaritas with her coworkers on Friday. Remember, she's not a Christian. Breathe. She is not married, okay? But she does have a boyfriend whom she sees a lot. So we understand who Judy is, correct? Basic American worker. All right, let's mix it up. So let's say Judy comes to work one day with an ACE bandage on her arm and tells several people in the office, including the two Christians who are there, that she tripped and fell in her apartment and thinks she sprained her wrist. Judy is so upset, she also proceeds to tell a few of her coworkers that her boyfriend just broke up with her. And needless to say, Judy's probably been crying and she's basically having a really bad day. Now, in come our two Christians. Both Christians in this office realize that Judy needs the Lord, and they now sense that there may be an opportunity to share with her the love of Christ during this crisis moment. Average Christian number one strikes first. They go to Judy and say something along the lines of this: Judy, I am so sorry to hear about your breakup and about your fall. God does love you, and he does care about what you're going through. Please know that I'll be praying for you and asking the Lord to heal your pain as well as your heart. Judy thanks them for their kind concern. And it's true. Average Christian goes back to their office or cubicle and begins to pray to God. Oh God, please heal Judy and lead her to salvation in Christ. Show her you are the truth, the way, and the light. Lead her into an encounter with you and out of her life of sin and pain. And Lord, please get her to a church where she can receive you and the new life you have to offer. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And then they wait and they see what God is going to do with their request. Am I wrong? That's pretty bright, right? Nothing wrong with that. Not bad. Understand, I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm just giving you an example. Now, let's see what the kingdom agent would do with the same scenario. Now, from the minute that Judy walked in with an ACE bandage on her arm, the kingdom agent was already engaged in research with the Holy Spirit about what is going on in Judy's life at the moment. So while Christian number one is making their move, the kingdom agent is checking in with headquarters up in heaven to get their assignment. They are accessing through the Spirit what really occurred to Judy to cause her to fall in the first place. As in, is there anything demonic attached to what occurred into this fall. They are seeking a word of knowledge from God about Judy and her failed relationship from the Lord. The agent is also asking God at the same time to give them a positive prophetic word or word of knowledge that for Judy from the Lord that will give her hope and evidence that God does indeed know her and cares. Now, the agent does this in confidence because they know who they are and that God will back them up as they step out. Once the agent has such knowledge and has done some spiritual warfare over the area to take out any obvious demonic block or resistance that the Holy Spirit has revealed to them, they will again, being led by the Holy Spirit, go to Judy and engage her in conversation that goes something possibly like this. Judy, I am so sorry that you've fallen, and I can tell that you're in pain. Do you mind if we take a moment to pray for your healing? I believe that God heals, and just take a moment. Why don't we pray? Once the agent gets the go-ahead, they begin to pray for Judy with authority, pressing on heaven and demanding a response, which they get because the agent knows that God is as anxious to heal Judy and reveal himself to her as the agent is for God to heal Judy. Judy starts to feel better. And while the agent continues to pray, they also start to share the word of knowledge they received about Judy that God has given them that has relevance to Judy's life, specific information that actually connects with her and causes her to see a glimpse of the fact that God knows who she is and truly cares for her. Once they are done praying for healing and have given her the word, the agent will normally bless her and ask God to bless her and reveal more of himself to her. Then they will go back to their cubicle and thank God for all he's done and is going to do in Judy's life. The agent will probably continue to get information for Judy and pray in accordance with what God is showing them at that time. Judy, because she's probably seen a glimpse of God's power and personal concern, will probably come back to that agent and want more information and connection. And then that agent can open up more of the kingdom to Judy and lead her to Jesus. Now, one Christian prays for Judy to encounter God, while the other one actually leads Judy into an encounter with God and his kingdom. Do you see the difference? Do you see the difference? Now, my husband said, that's kind of far-fetched, hon. But I want you to understand, I know kingdom agents do that all the time. It is not a troublesome thing, and they have a huge ministry in the kingdom. Do you understand the difference? Kingdom agents work for the kingdom by using their gifts and their training, and they step out in faith, and they literally change the atmosphere around them because they do what Jesus did and are conduits for the kingdom to manifest upon the earth. Kingdom agents know who they are. They are kings and queens in the kingdom. Everything Jesus has, they have access to and make use of through the Holy Spirit. They know who God is, and they know who the enemy is, and they are not intimidated because they have been trained and are confident in their abilities and relationship with the Lord. Their perspective is a kingdom perspective, and their life is a supernatural kingdom mission from God. Now, each one of us has potential to be a kingdom agent, but it's our choice. We have the choice to press in and run the race for the prize, as Paul says. Or we can pull back and watch things get worse and go back to our cubicle and pray and hope God does something. Now, God is doing some incredible things right now. We see revival. We see people getting healed in the streets. We see evangelism. But the battle between the two kingdoms is heating up. It's going to get a lot more intense. And it's going to get to the point that none of us can choose to ignore it. It's going to start affecting your families if it hasn't already. God has given the church the job of manifesting his kingdom upon the earth. He has given us the tools we need to do it through the Holy Spirit. And he has even given us his nature. There is nothing else we should be waiting for before we get activated and get our mindset focused on his kingdom purpose. We are the ones who transform the earth. We are it. People are dying every day. They are being seduced by a false god, by Satan, by love of self, and there are thousands of them going to hell. Thousands of Judies dropping off the face of the planet into hell. They don't know there's a different kingdom. They don't know there's a higher kingdom. There are some people in the church that don't know there's a higher kingdom. We are the kingdom agents. We are the ones God wants to use to change all that, to bring his glory and his freedom through Christ, his kingdom, where there is no death, there is no pain, and there is no loneliness. But before he can do that, we each have to make a choice. Who are we going to be? Are we going to take our assignment or not? So, I want to pray with you for those of you who want to be activated as agents for the kingdom. Hopefully by now you've had an overview of the process, so you're not afraid. Now, this is going to be a two-part prayer. First, I want to lead you through a prayer to cut off any lingering Adamic nature problems. Okay, when we talked about the nature within us, because these things can be blocking your ability to surrender more to the Holy Spirit and for Christ's nature to become more fully in you. Then we are going to do some deliverance praying to get rid of any lingering demonic blocks, and then we're going to do some impartations, okay, for more of the kingdom within you. So if you want to be activated as a kingdom agent, I want you to stand, and we're going to pray. Now, this first part's real simple. I'm going to pray, and you're going to repeat. As we're doing this, I want you to actually repeat with intent and purpose. Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me so that I could access the fullness of your kingdom right now within my life. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that is working your nature within me. I renounce the fallen Adamic nature and all of the demonic spirits that work with this nature. I declare that all the demonic spirits and all the genetic streams and transmissions that have come from the Adamic nature are now closed and sealed. I declare that the Adamic bloodstream is closed, sealed, and nullified in my life. I declare the nature of Christ is alive within me and is constantly expanding within me. May my DNA be aligned with the Spirit of God. I declare it is from Him that I take myself and my identity. Holy Spirit, I give you permission to speak into my life, to reveal my identity, and train me for my kingdom purpose. Lord Jesus, may my actions, purposes, intentions, and thoughts be aligned with you through the power of your Holy Spirit indwelling within me. May all the intentions of my heart and even my reactions and preconceived ideas be fully aligned with you and your heart through the power of your Holy Spirit, which is at work in me. In Jesus' name. Good. Take a deep breath in. Let it out. Now, Lord, I ask you to Visit your people with your presence. Visit your people with your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, we ask you to come now and impart kingdom life into every place. Impart the kingdom, more manifestation of the kingdom into every place, Lord, that has been cleansed. The power of the blood of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come. We just release an impartation to come over each person here and those listening on the podcast, Lord. Come release the full power and impact of the kingdom over each person here. Thank you, Lord Jesus. More in every place. Lord, we want your kingdom within, your nature within. Holy Spirit, we want you to give us the gifts and train us how to use them. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done tonight. Father, we say yes, we'll be kingdom agents. And Lord, quicken our training, Jesus, so that we're effective and we change the atmosphere. Thank you, Jesus, for your goodness. Thank you for your kingdom.
To order this song or more music, to hear a new podcast, or get more information, simply go to www.ruaministries.org.